You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to the William Hill Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Sunday's action on this edition. You'll hear it all live on Racing Radio from 12:35pm with Darren Owen, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in the studio. It's Exeter and Uttoxeter on the domestic front. Two meetings over in Ireland as well from Cork and Punchestown, and good racing at Punchestown as well, including the Morgiana Hurdle, which is a Grade 1 contest over 2 miles. My name is Mark Walton, and joining me in the studio to look ahead to the action is Mr. Craig Forsyth. How are you, Craig?
I'm well, Mark, I'm well.
Good man. We can look back at Saturday's action as well before we get stuck into Sunday's racing, so we'll start with that. And the big race of the day was the 3 o'clock at Haydock, the Betfair Chase, and it went the way of Q-Card, third time he's won the race. Kicks off the Jockey Club Triple Crown with a victory once again, and he looked magnificent on Saturday afternoon.
He certainly did, Mark, for a 10-year-old that... You have to say it, Weatherby didn't travel with his normal enthusiasm. I thought, you know, the warning signs were there soon enough in the Charlie Hall Chase on his return. And when a horse runs, you know, like that, you know, expect particularly a top class chaser at the age of 10, you just wonder if that was the start of a decline in his performances. But today, you know, he travelled really well. Paddy Brennan rode him with a great deal of confidence. He's got a lovely lead into the race, of course, off the returning Conigree, who shaped well after a long absence. But you could see Paddy was just... it was a case of him pressing the button, ready to take up the running, and he's jumping now, you know, is splendid. It really is. It's a joy to watch. Mm. And it was good to see him bounce right back and... you know, onwards now to Boxing Day, Kempton, and the King George.
Yeah, he's now favourite for the King George. Was 9-2 before the race. He's now 6-4 favourite for the King George, the sixth chase. Duvan 4-1 in that market. 6-1 Conigree, who, as Craig said, ran well on his return. Thistlecrack 6-1, 7-1 Valsalido, and Vroom Vroom Mag 25-1 bar those. And reaction in the Gold Cup betting as well. Q-Card was 12-1 for the Gold Cup before Saturday, and he has been shortened in to 5-1 second favourite behind Thistlecrack, who still heads the market at 100-30. Conigree, for anybody who is interested as well, is 8-1 for the Gold Cup. Interesting picture now, isn't it? The yes. King George and the Gold Cup coming up. Would you back Q-Card in either of those?
I wouldn't at the moment, Mark. I mean, I think, you know, there's a lot of water to pass under the bridge for both races, even though... you know, the King George will be here before we know it, basically. Yeah. You know, it isn't too far away. What we're looking at now, best part of six weeks at the very most for Q-Card. But the likes of, you know, we need to see the likes of Duvan, etc., maybe have a run before then. But, you know, it was just great to see Q-Card bounce back. And who's to say he wouldn't have won the 3 last year, Mark, with a clean round of jumping?
Yeah.
Much, much better. And at the age of 10 now, he's obviously clearly a horse that just needs that first run just to take the, to put him spot on and build his fitness, because he certainly did improve upon his comeback at Weatherby today, and a really good performance.
There's also Grade 3 action at Haydock in the Fixed Brush Handicap Hurdle. Went the way of Cruise Linen, who won at 9-1. Theo's Charm second at 15-2. Yala Enki in third at 5-1. What do you make of that race, Greg?
Yeah, I thought it wasn't as competitive as, you know, previous renewals, Mark. You're usually looking to that race to see a little bit of a plot, if you like, a well-handicapped horse, you know, and you look back to past winners, and that has been the case on a good few occasions.
Yeah.
But there was nothing really hiding this year, was there really? There wasn't that many unexposed horses. The likes of Yala Enki still got improvement to come. But Cruise Linen, I mean, I didn't give him a chance, basically, because, you know, you think it would have been a case of working his season April backwards, and bringing him to a peak for the Grand National, but obviously clearly had him fit enough, kept galloping, showed a lovely attitude. I just love the way that horse sticks his neck out, Cruiseland. It really is a joy. Just a shame he didn't have it in front in the Grand National last year, Mark, or there would have been a few more happy faces.
Let's have a look at some of the action at Ascot as well. I want to start with Yamworth there, won the Ascot hurdle. He was made to dig deep by Lil Rockefeller, though, Craig, and he's been given quotes for both the World Hurdle and the Champion Hurdle at the festival. For the Champion Hurdle, he's 16-1, and for the World Hurdle, he is 8-1, and he's 7-1 to win any race at the Cheltenham Festival, with target not exactly entirely confirmed. But the way he had to stick to it, and the way he found more, would you say he's more aiming towards the World Hurdle than the Champion Hurdle?
I think they have to, because really, he never looked like winning today until, you know, the last 10 yards or so. It took a while to get on top. So, you know, he was fresh in the early part of the race. So, you know, he hasn't run for a while. He was a little bit too keen, but he showed his ability, because, you know, when you've done a little too much racing, to finish off his race like he did, you know, that shows his true class. And it looked workmanlike, but I'm sure that hopefully, you know, Alan King's left a little bit to work on. And the way he's seen the race out, it's got to be up in trip, Mark, rather than back in trip. So, yeah. But, you know, he was receiving £4 off the second. You know, at level weights, would he have won today? That's a big question. And improvement required. Mm. You know, if he's to be seen to be a grade one hurdler outside of novice company, there's got to be definite improvement on today's result. And that may be forthcoming as he steps up in trip. And I think we'll have to give a positive mention to Lil Rockefeller. Lovely, lovely horse. You know, rated high 80s on the flat. Made his hurdling debut at Wetherby. I think his first victory in a handicap came in the low 120s, somewhere like Sandown Mark, at one of the spring meetings. But look at him today. I think he's officially now rated 160. He's come a long way, and he continues to improve. He's a horse with a fair bit of substance. And he deserves to win a Grade 2, Grade 3 event.
Yeah, yeah. He went at Ascot off 125, and he's done that today off 160 or whatever it is.
So, so, yeah. That just shows you the upward curve and the way he's progressed, and all credit to his handler, Neil King, as well.
Yeah, certainly. The Stella Artois 1965 chase was another Grade 2 on the card at Ascot, won the Wave Royal Regatta, beating Carmore Lock and Godzone. A little bit of a surprise result.
In a way, yes, you know, 10-1 shot, you've got to say that. But he's a tough horse to pass off the front, particularly on a right-hander track. When he gets into a rhythm, Royal Regret, like he did today, you know, he can prove a hard horse to pass. God's Own was the first one to really come and challenge him at the business end of the race. He looked the most likely winner, to be fair, Mark. He didn't get home. He didn't see his race out over 2 mile 5. Kyle Morlock dropped off before fighting back in the closing stages. Another stride and he gets up and he wins. You know, his stamina did look assured. And they've got options with him. You know, he isn't short of speed. They could drop him back to 2.5. They could go up to 3 with Kyle Morlock. Good race. I think you've got to take the second out of it. And obviously, you know, the way God's Own went through it, he's going to be a force to be reckoned with when he drops back in trip as well. And let's not forget the returning Edward for the North, for Lord Budden. He's run a tremendous race on his comeback. Long layoff, and I'm sure he'll find slightly easier opportunities, and he'll be all the better for that run.
Yeah. Honourable mention as well to one of the most popular horses in training. A lot of people have been happy to see Sire de Grugy back to winning ways. Carried a big weight there in that handicap chase as well, and he was... you could call him the winner, couple out really. Quite by chance, closed the gap and stayed on well in second. But the race was already won, wasn't it?
The race was gone, Mark. Yeah, he had them well strung out up the home straight. He just is a horse that seems well suited to those type of conditions, conceding weight to solid handicappers. He's done it before at Chepstow. He'd done it extremely well today. And there's some useful yardsticks. The likes of Vanateur, you know, let's not forget he went off second favourite in an Arkle to beat Duvan. So, you know, there was no mugs in behind, and he had them well. I would say, you know, the race was over before he hit 3 out.
Yeah.
And he never looked like getting caught. Terrific performance. Is he going to make it back to the top level? Doubtful, but, you know, congratulations to Connections today. I'm sure they would have been delighted with that performance.
Yeah. I think the plan would be Tingle Creek next morning and see where he stands in terms of Grade 1 company again. Anything else caught your eye or anything on Saturday, or should we get stuck into Sunday?
I think we should start with Sunday, because there's a whole host of horses, but you know, I haven't even seen the times of the races or anything to go back on yet, Mark, but there's a whole host of horses that did shape well. I think it'll probably be best to concentrate, but I'll, instead of mentioning a horse to follow from Saturday, I'll go back to Friday and I'll give the listeners Draytonian of Philip Hobbs as a horse to follow. I thought he shaped extremely well at Ascot on his return on Friday.
All right, okay. One for the notebooks then. Listeners, let's move on to Sunday's action. We're going to get Craig's thoughts in four races. We'll get them on the back of this.
William Hill Racing Radio. It's everything to give you the inside track.
Right, then we'll spin through these in chronological order. The first of them is the 120 at Exeter. This is a Class 3 handicap chase over 3 miles. We have a field of 14 set to go to post for this one, Craig, and it's going to be quite an open betting heat as well, so help us out with this one.
I'm looking for some help off you, really, Mark, for this one. It's a difficult race to call. The first thing that did strike me with the race is there's quite a few in the field that like to race prominently, Mark. So they should go a good gallop. So, you know, in terms of form or recent form or unexposed horses, there's nothing really jumping off the page, standing out here as an extremely good value bet. So my angle into the race is, you know, that there should be a good strong gallop, good strong fractions. It should suit, ideally, some of the closers here. And a horse that has been called several names, particularly by myself in the past, is the Italian Yob. You know, he's fallen back to a mark of 124. He's a tricky customer. He doesn't always find as much off the bridle as you would think. But I think, you know, this type of event, conceding weight to lesser horses, could well suit. And providing he's fit enough after a 239-day break, and he has gone well fresh in the past, which is key to his chances. Going back 12 months, Mark, he won first time up at Force Lass. So this could well be the time to catch this awkward customer, the Italian Yob, and hopefully he can come off a decent pace in the 120 at Exeter.
The Italian Yob, then, the selection for Craig in the 120 at Exeter. The 210 at Uttoxeter is where we go next. This is a Class 4 handicap chase over 2.5 miles, 10 of them in the lineup here, Craig. And I suppose we could start with Sword of the Lord, who arrives here in winning form.
Yeah, I was at Perth the day he won, Mark. That was going back a couple of months or so. You know, we was all racing on fairly good ground then, but I think all ground comes alike to this fella, despite his pedigree. I mean, he isn't bred for this job. He's by KLF, and he's out of Kalachi Mare, so not exactly bred for it, but he stays well. He's a horse with a fair bit of substance, and he won in a quick time. At Perth, the form has been franked since, and he's gone up £6 for that mark, which I think is a very fair rise. And I think he's been found a good opening here to follow that up, because there's a few horses here that, you know, the hard horses to win with. Elenica of Venetia Williams doesn't find a great deal off the bridle. You know, it's a hard horse to win with. I do like Gold Opera. I do like him as a horse. I think there's more to come from him, but he's a big unit, Mark, and he's a horse that carries conditions even when, you know, he's fairly fit. And so I would imagine after his break, he is likely to need it. And I don't think he's a type that you'd want to bash about carrying 11, 12 on his first start. So he may well need this. Restraint of trade comes from a yard that, you know, bounced back with a winner on Saturday. But, you know, on the whole, the horses haven't been running great. I'm not a huge fan of Wolf Sword, to be honest. It's a good opportunity for Sword of the Lord. I don't know why we haven't seen him for 2 months since Perth, but off a £6 higher mark, I fancy him to follow up his win from up north in Scotland.
Mm. Sword of the Lord then for Craig in the 210 at Uttoxeter. We go to Punchestown next for the 220. Big race on their card is the Morgiana Hurdle. It's a grade one over 2 miles. If you look through the past winners of this race, it's dominated really by Willie Mullins. Hurricane Fly won it on three separate occasions. He's won it with 1,000 Stars. Nichols Canyon won it last year and comes back to defend his crown. He's 4-7 favourite here with betting out on site already. Jersey Girl 100-30 was a pretty useful juvenile last season. Sempre Medici is 8-1, 9-1 Ivanovich Gorbachev, who of course won the Triumph Hurdle last season, and Simonon the 25-1 outsider of the field. This time 12 months ago, Nichols Canyon was beating Forheen here causing a real upset. It looks slightly easier this time around, maybe.
Well, I don't see any Forheens, certainly in this lineup, Mark, if that's what you're referring to, for sure. And Nicholas Canyon dug deep. And, you know, many have said that this race 12 months ago possibly just took the edge off Nicholas Canyon for the rest of his campaign. He did go on and he did follow up at Leopardstown, but for a Grade 1 event, it wasn't a real strong heat on that occasion. And after that, he didn't really reach the same level of form. He did finish third, of course, to Annie Power in the Champion Hurdle at Cheltenham. He's the class act. He really is the standout performer. And he's got a golden opportunity to win this race for the second year in a row here, because, you know, Forheen was the horse that finished second to him last year. Certainly don't see a Forheen in the race this year. I think it could be the 4-year-old Jer's Girl that gives him most to think about here. This filly was progressed throughout last season, but looking back, Mark, at previous winners of this race, and 4-year-olds have really struggled in this contest. So that would certainly put me off the chances of Jer's Girl. And really, she's the one horse that is still open to improvement that could provide a shock. But I don't think she'll be able to bridge the gap here on her seasonal reappearance to beat Nicholas Canyon.
Nicholas Canyon then to win the Morgiana Hurdle, in Craig's opinion. I was going to ask a little bit of a question about Willie Mullins' form, but he seems to have turned the corner quite markedly. He's lost 7 runners, 6 of them have won. So I think he's about to start picking up again, isn't he, by the looks of things, Willie Mullins?
Yeah, I mean, he's a trainer, and it's a yard that you never really associate bad runs with, really. They just keep churning out winners. So it is relevant, Mark. I think you should, write to mention it in terms of his form, because when they go through that, period without the winner, it's significant, certainly, for a yard like Willie Mullins. So, but they're in good form now. Whatever problem they did have over that short period, they look to have turned the corner, and I see no reason why Nicholas Canyon won't be winning on Sunday.
On to the final race we look at, which is the 2:25 at Exeter. This is a Class 3 handicap chase. It's over the extended 2 miles and 1 furlong. A field of 10 set to go to post for this one. Craig, who'd you like in there?
I would take a chance with the reappearing Last Shot, Mark. He has won over this course and distance in the past. Finisher's horses, they're coming to the boil slowly. And I think, I would hope that this lad is fit enough to do himself justice at the first time of asking after a break of 189 days. He's certainly well handicapped to play a part here off a mark of 119. He goes well on stiff right-handed tracks. I think everything is really in his favour to run a big one. Just the big doubt is, will he be fit enough to go at the first time of asking? Of late, he's done most of his winning over slightly further than this, but he's a horse with a fair bit of speed, and he's usually ridden quite prominently in his races, so I see no reason with a drop in trip. He's got a lovely race and weight of 11 stone, and hopefully he can go well at the first time of asking on his first start back after a summer break.
Last Shot then, the selection for Craig in the 2:25 at Exeter. As usual, let's just have a little bit of a quick summary, Craig. Just confirm your selections for us then for Sunday's action.
1:20 Exeter, the Italian Yob. Let's catch him first time back after a break. Sword of the Lord to follow up with his Perth victory in the 2:10. The most obvious one of the day, Mark, is Nicholas Canyon in the 2:20 at Punchestown. And finally, in the 2:25 at Exeter, Last Shot to make a winning reappearance.
Superb. Thank you very much, Craig. Good luck, and enjoy on Sunday.
Thank you, Mark.
There you go. The thoughts of Craig Forsyth on Sunday's racing. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 12:35 p.m. with Darren Owen, John Budden and Paddy Aspel in the studio. Exeter and Uttoxeter are the two domestic meetings. We've also got two meetings over in Ireland from Cork and Punchestown, including one of the races we just looked at, the Morgiana Hurdle. So plenty to get stuck into. Do tune in for all of that. Thank you very much for listening to this William Hill Racing podcast, and enjoy Sunday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.